Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Green Party candidate for mayor, Dan Platt. And Dan is here to discuss the vote that the Common Council did last night on the sale of the Palace Theater. So, Dan, were you there last night?
I was, and to be clear, I'm still kind of mulling through my thoughts on the subject, but I can get to give you a good hot take.
So, give us an overview of exactly what happened.
Okay, so this deal has been lined up between the leaders of the city as part of their economic strategy to build up downtown using what are called private-public partnerships, which is mostly the city employing or working with private enterprises, whether they be nonprofit or for-profit, to do various things that the government has been deemed unable to do, usually for ideological reasons. One of those things seems to be promotion of the arts, the maintaining of public institutions, whether they be theaters, parks, or schools. And that has manifested this week as the gifting of the Palace Theater to this nonprofit. So another large institution is going to be non-taxable. The ticket sales are not going to go into city coffers. The city will eventually get nothing directly from the palace. All the benefits are perceived as indirect growth of downtown. But that serves the interests of a few and certainly does not serve the interests of everyone in Albany. Not the taxpayers, not the poor people of North Albany, and so on.
So, what was your reaction to how the vote came down? It seems like there's like 11 to 4 or 12 to 3, and there's only a minority that will continuously vote their conscience. I was thinking about this morning. What's the point of having a common council when all of the Common Council members do not have a free will to vote their conscience?
Well, there's certainly different interpretations to take. I encourage everyone to attend at least one city council meeting. I think it would make you anyone more likely to engage with city politics because it will anger you. Perhaps depending on your own personality, what kind of anger or what angers you. I think there's something for everybody. And my interpretation, I must take a pass on whether or not the council members that always vote yes on everything are in fact voting their conscience, because I think the way they speak, the arguments made for this deal are quite in their own world, not connected to reality. Or there's a lot of bias, there's a lot of bad thinking. And so I simply call the opposition council members as the reasonable bunch, I suppose. But certainly when it comes to the interests of the ruling class and the city leaders, they are doing what's in their interests, and from their point of view, they're being very reasonable. Nonprofits like the Palace Incorporated, they have an actual other name, but I'm going to call them that. They provide public benefit in terms of our programs and maintaining the palace, all well and good. And the director, like so many other nonprofit directors, has other organizations, such as the Park Playhouse. And that's always something I've enjoyed that my entire life, as well as the palace. So I'm certainly not complaining about their output per se, but how they go about things. And with the council vote last night, there was a very shady things happening. Right in front of me, when Judd brought up, maybe Judd can tell you this yourself, himself, but when something was brought up, Conti reacted and printed a new version of the bill during the meeting. And Bailey, who was probably skeptical or on the fence, he suddenly mentioned that there were safety issues to attend to with the palace, and we don't want to be sued, so we might as well sell it. And there was kind of a split mentioned that it's either the palace is either an asset or a liability. And that was very and that's odd coming from the council members. I remember this about the budget. Council members that vote yes with the mayor all the time call the citizens of Albany assets and then call the institutions we enjoy liabilities.
Wow. Wow. So pretty contentious. And it was a long meeting. How long did the meeting last?
It went till 9. Oh,
okay.
No. It went past 9. It went till 10.
Okay. Now, Kathy Sheehan is the mayor of the city of Albany, and she's also on the board of the Palace Theater.
Absolutely.
So, with the sale of $750,000, do you think that Kathy Sheehan had the best interest of the city of Albany and its residents, or the board members of the Palace Theater uppermost in her mind?
Well, I think the evidence bears out. Yeah. From my perspective, the facts as they are, the reality is that it is the latter. Here's some numbers, though
okay.
I can't be sure of what they pertain to. So I heard the term, so the palace needs extra repairs, deferred maintenance, apparently. And it's the price tag for that is $4.2 million. But the revenue of the palace is also $4 million. Now, I don't know if that's gross revenue, meaning full profit, or that's just the revenue and there's all these expenses that cancels it out. That wasn't talked about at all during the meeting. Then there's a mention to me that I learned during the meeting. I learned a lot just sitting there and talking to the people that were in the room. And I learned that there was the city's been in a 10-year lease with a nonprofit. They're 7 years into it. And it's pretty much that because, you know, the palace wasn't profitable for the longest time, the city was sinking a lot of money into it. The city was paying the nonprofit to manage it. And there was also all the grants and all the other public money being invested into the palace to get it as a functioning institution again. And now that it's finally profitable to some extent, now the nonprofit can pretty much take it. And it's going to be a gift to them for toughing it out, I suppose. And that's certainly in the interest of the nonprofit, of this particular nonprofit, because there are different types of nonprofits. There are nonprofits where the people involved are paid very little, they're on a shoestring budget, and they are struggling with the issues that they're working on. And then there are the nonprofits where they do make quite a lot of revenue. It's quite they're in some kind of enterprise that would normally be private and for profit, but in some instance isn't, because, well, market economics deem that certain things aren't profitable anymore. But then they're able to set their own salaries and all kinds of other things. And even though in theory they're being regulated by the state, in practice, there's very little happening to rein them in, so to speak, and make sure that they are accountable. Because throughout this process, it was 9 months or so since last July, and there were local interests and citizen complaints about this, complaints about the price tag, the price of the deal, you know, from $1 to, okay, now it's $25,000 for 30 years at zero interest. Now, I'm not against loaning money or having installment plans, but how about we have that sort of thing available for everybody, everyone who wants to build a home here, everyone who needs help, everyone who for their tax bill. But no, they get laughed. They would get laughed at the office if they say, "Oh yeah, I want to pay my taxes in installments." But when it comes to buying the palace, of course, it was rushed through. It had to be passed tonight, apparently, for the sake of the nonprofit's fundraising capacity.
So basically, Mark Robinson, Frank Commisso, and Jed Crasher were kind of by themselves in this whole thing. And Mark Robinson, who lives in that district, who originally was for it, why did he not vote? Why did he vote against it last night? Do you know why?
I'll have to review my notes, and I took some video instead of taking notes for him because he was way more passionate than, he's usually passionate, but he was very angry, calling the deal itself an insult, an embarrassment. That's the word he used. And I agree. Privatization should always be considered embarrassment by the public. As well as the economic development policies, which amount to trickle-down economics, building these large projects downtown to attract richer residents that will eventually push out poorer residents. That's gentrification. And it's happened in every city across the nation. From Flint to Salt Lake City to L.A., they build a convention center, they build an art district, they build art institutions, and there's no base economy for working people. For people without graduate degrees and special training. And it's part of Democratic policy to get these resources out to retrain everybody. But it's not happening, and it never happens fast enough, and it doesn't happen for everybody. I would propose we need to work on growing our base economy. That's food, that's clothes, that's house goods, the common things that everyone uses. Not that art is bad. I am totally for art. All right. This is not an argument against art. This is about going beyond art, that art is, in fact, a luxury good. It's something to be enjoyed once everyone is secure financially, materially. But that is not the case, because all of these things are built downtown, millions upon millions, going in for the Times Union Center, for the Convention Center, and all these other projects, these pet, very glittery projects, but we still remain in poverty here in Albany.
There was
it's not fair. It's not right.
There was a talk, before the vote. What basically did the Cameron Council members say for and against? What was their reasoning?
Okay. I take very good notes. I'm going to try to keep this from being negative attacks. McLaughlin mentioned there's a both sides approach, and she was stating that everything that was brought up by the public and their concerns was put in the ordinance. There is a disagreement between the no votes and the yes votes about whether or not the ordinance that was passed has a community benefits agreement, which is what Robinson was very angry about. I believe he changed his vote based on the fact that there was no enforceable agreement in the ordinance, despite the rhetoric.
It was
Bailey
that changed his vote, right?
Yes,
Bailey
at the very last minute.
Right, okay.
Yes, after Conti whispered something in his ear. Conti, Philip, you've seen the filibuster. He talked for 15 minutes about process, the voting rules, quoting the city charter. Fahey usually loves everything, and she used trickle-down rhetoric that this project will create economic boom, the investment, it'll be totally worth it eventually. She used language like penny-wise and pound-foolish towards people. Gobi used to work there, so she has an emotional attachment. But her and the union reps were kind of fear-mongering that if the vote wasn't yes, if this vote didn't pass, that it would eventually mean the palace would close. appears, the rep for the first ward. She also used investment language, and she has a way of talking about political engagement as like a pure representative. She represents the first ward, I'm going to stop there because I don't want to criticize people directly. It's more about the structure of the committee system and how the city deals with its properties, that it creates these third-party entities instead of creating bodies made up of local people to manage them, or letting the workers manage it. That's a pretty cool language. That management should be democratic of these properties, accountable to neighbors, workers, and then the taxpayers.
So, were you surprised at the outcome?
No. I did have a sense of foreboding dread, because although I hadn't heard much going in about what was actually happening, only that there was this new offer that I just heard of it a week ago. But it seems that the council was aware of it for a good month or so. It just shows that the council themselves, their argument was that there has been a fair and just process of taking in public concerns and complaints about this and ensuring that there's a neighborhood benefit agreement and all that. And it's been over these 9 months since the announcement that the city, Sheehan wanted to gift it for a dollar. And that's justice. And so after this long process that everything is in and the ordinance is completely fair, but it needs to be passed right now. And this is not a rush job, despite that this new deal has only been on the table for a short amount of time. But I think it's indicative that the process certainly is broken, that it feels like there was no outreach, although there actually wasn't. There was a speaker there from the Arbor Hill community, and Dr. Robinson, and she was talking about how the nonprofit hadn't reached out at all. This was an adjacent neighborhood, and there's no real argument can be made that there will be a direct benefit, at least economically speaking. An art program, an arts program, a dance troupe thing could be happening, and those are positive. But it's kind of the same kind of relationship of charity versus solidarity, that there is this one-way relationship that these nonprofits will provide things for the neighborhood, but the neighborhood doesn't have that much agency in ensuring what kind of institutions get the support and investment from the state or the city. And that needs to be reversed.
It was a pretty contentious meeting. Would you say that was correct?
Only from the perspective that you have these three councilmen who vote no. Contentious between the bubble that our city leaders are in, and that includes the nonprofit sector, and the rest of the public that was either attending and such. So there is definitely a tension between the leadership of the city and the citizens of the city, because there's so much disconnect when it comes, whether it's the casino project, the trash fee. There's a lot of rationalization, but it just comes down to that there's this one set of interests that will get their way, and the public at large, considering the including the working class and the underclass, which will never have their interests met. And
do you think
we need a complete? Yeah, and there has to be a complete redesign of all these city processes to change that.
Do you think ultimately this will hurt the re-election or the election of the common council members who are in favor of the sale of the Palace Theater? Do you think they'll be hurt by it?
It certainly makes them all vulnerable. And here's where I make a pitch, that anyone who is upset about city government, their taxes, that they should think about running themselves. And me and the local Green Party are ready and able to help anyone who is interested run for office in Albany. Because we certainly need a clean slate. Because in order to get transformational change, you actually have to change the people in government.
In the election of 2016, the national election, there was a big disconnect between the people who were running for president, maybe for Congress. And let's see if any of that spills over into local issues where people will be more aware of the issues and take more of an interest in it. What do you think?
There's certainly a sensitivity to that. Yes, national issues are local issues because what they have in common is the denial that trickle-down economics fails a majority of people. There is growth downtown. There are people doing well, but it is not everyone. There is little equity happening. And that is as much a failure of the Democrats as it is the Republicans. Both parties are for trickle-down economics. And that is something, and that is why the Democrats lost so miserably on the national level. They are pitching the same economic policies. We build and we invest in singular projects for singular groups, and it'll radiate out and there'll be new businesses. Invest directly in people's businesses. Invest directly in neighborhoods. That is what is not happening. It is happening to some extent, but definitely not to the extent that is needed, and not enough to actually build a base, an economic base of the basics of life, food, clothing, etc. People are struggling to meet basic needs. They have to shop at Walmart because it's cheaper there. We need alternatives to that. We need alternatives to the Walmart economy. And it can't just be art.
That's a good point. So as the campaign evolves, then I will have you back on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts and to share your perspectives on the issues that are going to affect the residents of this city of Albany. So thanks for coming on the show, and keep up the good work. To swim upstream is not an easy thing. So you've been listening to Green Party candidate for mayor, Dan Platt. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany and share your thoughts. Thanks, Dan. Have a great day, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
You too.